Hello, and welcome to our fourth podcast in the short series on mental health and well-being. In this podcast, we'll hear from Mick Burgess, lighting technician, lighting designer, and lecturer at the Guildford School of Acting. Mick is also a trustee of the Association of British Theatre Technicians, the ABTT, and champion and advocate for mental health. Mick will discuss the impact of the pandemic on the live events and entertainment sector and some of the key issues faced by workers around mental health. Over to you, Mick.
Oh, hi, my name is Mick. I am a lighting technician. I'm a lighting designer and a production electrician, and I've had a lovely career in industry. And I'm also a teacher, so I teach university level students at the Guildford School of Acting on the theatre production course, and I thoroughly enjoy teaching them everything that I love about the lighting industry that I work in. I'm also very well known for being a huge advocate in mental health and well-being. That's through lived experience. So my passion for the topic comes from the fact that I have lived with quite an acute mental health condition since my teenage years. My current diagnosis sits somewhere around bipolar type 2 and emotional unstable personality disorder. Both quite scary labels to carry around with you, but at the grand old age of 40, I've sort of learnt to live with it and come to terms with it. And in my old age, feel very, very passionately about taking the time to advocate for less stigma and more awareness around that particular topic. So yeah, the pandemic has hit our industry very, very hard, and we're coming up to almost a year's anniversary for it. So in March last year, I sat with everybody and watched as our theatres and our venues and our live events and corporate events stopped. And the biggest challenge, we've had the toughest year, I think. And I've had a really long think about this. And I think the biggest challenge for us as individuals working in this industry is managing our own personal anxiety and circumstances. So this year has presented itself to us, our own fears and anxieties and worries about finances, about our jobs, about our own personal circumstance. We might be a freelancer who has missed all of the financing options. We might be working PAYE in a job, and we may be on furlough and we've just not worked for a year. It might be that we're still working and actually half our workforce has been furloughed and we're still at work carrying the torch on behalf of all those people that aren't there. So we might be really tired and we might have had a really stressful year. Everybody's personal circumstance is different, but I think the biggest challenge for us is managing our personal anxiety and circumstances versus the bigger collective industry wider problems and worries. So we're trying to sort ourselves out at the same time as carrying a real anxiety and fear about what's going to happen to the arts, to TV, filmmaking, to theatre, live events. And I think that's been the biggest challenge for anyone working in our industry is we've got sort of two levels of stress and worry, our own and then the bigger fear of for our industry. And that's a huge thing to take on and deal with for the whole year. So because we've had such a stressful year, and I like everybody else, you know, I watched my life change. My husband ended up being furloughed. I then had to teach remotely. Everything changed. So I was trying to manage my own personal circumstances, plus the anxiety of what happens to my beloved industry, what happens to my husband's job as a technical manager in a theatre. So I think that we all dig deep and work out what it is that we can do to help and support. I am a trustee of the ABTT, the Association of British Theatre Technicians. So I was very lucky to be in a position to actually physically try and do something. So as in my role as a trustee, I worked with the ABTT to help spearhead a discussion of seminars. Obviously, one of the first things that went was we lost all our beloved trade shows. So the ABTT do a trade show every year, and it's a lovely communal event, a networking event where people from industry go and talk. It was a huge thing for me for that to not happen because it's such a big thing in my calendar. So we actually did a series of seminars. The seminars were all on really tangible topics, I'd say. So we talked about working in a COVID environment. We talked about sustainability. We also did one on mental health as well, of course. Absolutely. That was the topic we discussed. I think the idea behind the series of seminars that has continued throughout all of this year and is going to carry on to continue in the schedule of events with the ABTT is to encourage communication and discussion, not only on those stimulating topics like mental health or sustainability or equality and diversity, but also about working in a COVID environment, about sharing our risk assessments and our what we've learnt throughout this year. So to encourage other venues to help and work. So the ABTT have produced guidance notes 101 to 106, and that's free and for everybody to see in order to help get venues and people up and running again. But also each of the seminars has been recorded. But again, it was just to try and create that community support really, and a spirit of sharing, so that if a big player like the Opera House is managing to get up and running again, that a regional venue out in Wales or something could read some of their risk assessments and it might help them to get up and running as well. So yeah, just an open and honest community sharing network. And for me, it was all spearheaded around what I needed really. So I was at home scared like everybody else about our industry. And so very selfishly, I wanted to help with the seminars because I wanted to be in the room and listen to what everybody's doing. So, and I wanted to share that with everybody else, because I think if you know all of the great work that's going on in the background, you might actually be calm enough to realise that you can concentrate on your own personal circumstance and let the associations and the unions do their fabulous work to help resolve our industry. So you've got such great associations and unions out there working to try and fight for our industry, and they've got brilliant campaigns. And so actually we should personally be spending our time sorting our own house out, if that makes any sense, and making sure that our lives at home and our mental health and our well-being are at the forefront of our mind. So yeah, I suppose an extra layer to my world was, and to many, is the layer of children and managing schoolwork and whatever else. I've watched in awe throughout this year at families that have had to juggle personal circumstances with suddenly becoming fully fledged school teachers at the same time. My daughter is three. And so thankfully I don't have any formal like schoolwork to do. I do have an 11-year-old stepdaughter, but she doesn't live with us. And I've watched in awe as her mum manages her job and her family at the same time as becoming a fully fledged school teacher to my stepdaughter. But I think that's not to be sniffed at, managing the home life. And that's why I think it's really important for us to try and make our worlds a little bit more insular. I think it seems wrong for me to say it's time to be a little bit more selfish, but your circumstances have changed so much. Like in the first lockdown, I was at home trying to teach online my university job. My husband was furloughed and he was at home, and my daughter's nursery just went. So I mean, in that respect I was lucky because Paul was at home and he could sort of take Chloe on. But I actually watched my husband's mental health deteriorate as his world changed, and we live on a tiny boat and Chloe was just around. If it was raining, she was indoors and I was trying to work and do online teaching. But I think we just have to be kind to ourselves, really. My students got very used to Chloe popping up in the back of the Zoom call, because three-year-olds will be what three-year-olds are. But I think the other thing is I worried for my daughter's care as well and provision, because of course everybody's world is turning upside down. And I just think that we all just have to our expectations have to be lowered. And I very much live my days very day to day, week to week. And I just chalk it off every day. If I've had a day where it's where I've got through it and it's okay, I chalk it up and then move on to the next day. If I've had a day where it hasn't quite gone so well, you know, tomorrow is another day. So, you know, try and analyse what went wrong or whatever, what you could do differently, but get a good night's sleep and try and tackle it again the next day. But children and childcare has been a universal issue, hasn't it, for everybody, I should imagine. And I just think we need to lower our expectations and be really kind to ourselves and just somehow muddle through the best that we can. I've not been very shy in expressing how I've struggled this year. So my mental health condition was always very managed up until I would say about April, May of last year. And the effects of the pandemic really took its toll and my symptoms changed. I found myself deteriorating quite badly, and I really did have to go back to ask. I had to make that painful journey to ask for help again, and I'm now back under the care of my community mental health team. So my advice to anybody who is perhaps anxious or distressed or not feeling great or realizing that their own mental health is deteriorating is the first thing to do is you really do need to acknowledge that and try and find a way to ask for help if you feel it is getting unmanageable. From lived experience, I would advise that you don't have to do that on your own. There's this like real notion that we have to make that journey or make that phone call on our own. If you're lucky enough to have a partner or a really close friend or family, there's no shame in getting them to help you. Like have them sit next to you when you make the phone call, or perhaps consider, I don't know if people are doing face-to-face doctor's appointments at the moment, but take them with you. You don't have to go and see these people on your own. I acknowledge how painful it is to ask for help, but you don't need to do that on your own, and there's plenty of people out there that would help you. And once you're on that journey to seek help and find support, I'm not going to tell you that it's a magical journey that happens very quickly. It isn't. But at least you know you're on that route to find support, and there is support out there for whatever level it might be that you need. For example, I'm doing a fabulous online art therapy class at the moment. And I found that on Instagram. So my local Minds charity is in Kingston, where I live. And if you follow Kingston Mind on Instagram, they advertise this art therapy group. And so on a Monday, I go and do 2 hours of art making online. It's online, but I guess that's just what's to be expected at the moment. But I found that incredibly useful. I'm in a room with like-minded people, and we produce fabulous art each week. I've really worked very hard on so mindfulness is a term that you'll hear all of the time, and for me it always kind of brings a lot of fear and anxiety with me because I can't do it. So traditional mindfulness is like meditation or making your mind calm enough to engage with the surroundings around you and disengage from your fears and anxieties and worries. And traditionally, I can't do it. So any kind of those mindful apps where they make you shut your eyes and all of that, I can't do it. But actually what I've learned this year is there are other ways to do it. Like you can go for a walk as long as you're in the moment and looking around you. I often go for a walk, and to make sure that I'm concentrating on the walk and not ruminating over my worries and anxieties, I set myself a little challenge, and the challenge might be something like find lots of items that are blue, try and point out all the things that are blue. And it just means that I start to look at my surroundings and I stop worrying about maybe that thing at work or my financial worries or whatever else, and it just settles my mind a little bit. I've done quite a bit of work because I often go into what we call crisis. So my emotions get so overwhelming that they become unstable. And so I've started to use the TIP technique, which is intense exercise, temperature. So sometimes you can get an ice cube and cool yourself down when you're feeling quite intense, or you can go for a run or do like 10 minutes of really intense exercise, and that can change your crisis worry. Paced breathing is another one, and paired muscle relaxation, and also just the sense of smell. These are all just random things that I've just tried throughout this year. I have an infuser thing with lavender and all sorts of stuff like that. And actually every now and again, when you get this whiff of this smell that comes through, it just brings you back into the moment and back into the room. And you think, oh, there's that lavender smell. And it sounds like a really stupid thing, but it's things like that that just ground you and get you back into the room. There's so many resources, quite often too many, but I think the important thing is to try and work out what works for you, really. I think in all of this waffle, I think the key is to don't try and flog something that doesn't work for you. These mindful apps are brilliant, but I can't do them. So I've had to find my own way to help alleviate my anxiety. I quite like running. There is definitely scientific evidence in exercise, and that is a natural antidepressant because it gives you that endorphin hit. I'm brutally aware, though, that running is not for everybody. So just find out whatever your equivalent of that is. So what is the thing that's going to give you that natural endorphin hit? Is it roller skating or even just walking? But there is so much scientific evidence in exercise that gives you endorphins, but also being outdoors and getting some fresh air. Experiencing all of the seasons as well. I think there's a real thing in British society that if the sun goes out, we go out. But actually, if the sun's not out or it's cold or it's raining, that we stay indoors. But actually, getting out into all... We're blessed in this country with four beautiful seasons. And if you can embrace every single season, sometimes there's nothing more liberating than going out in a spot of rain, I think. It's been a long and laborious year for me and my journey with my mental health and this pandemic year, where our personal lives have changed, but also the life of our industry has changed as well. I'm literally just taking the time to reflect personally on the mental health aspect of it. And I think for me, there are two points that analytically I've sat down and worked out. And the first point is that we encourage people with poor mental health or poor mental ill health to talk. We have to go and seek help. From my experience, the journey to go and seek help is hard. It's like walking to hospital on a broken leg. So if you've broken your leg, we don't expect a patient with a broken leg to walk to the hospital, because of course the leg is injured. Whereas a mental ill health patient's mind is injured, it's poorly, it's not feeling very well. Yet the journey to seek help requires their mind to work in order to articulate enough to ask for help. So I think what's really, really important, so if you're out there listening and you have a mental health problem, or perhaps you don't have a mental health problem, I think we all need to start realizing that asking for help just isn't that easy if your mind is not very well. So we could all collectively join together to make that journey easier. So if someone comes to you or you know they're struggling, we need to open our eyes more to people that are struggling. If somebody had broken their leg, you'd run up to them, you'd put your arm around them, you want to, like, you know, help them, support them, get to hospital. And I think we need to work more on that culture in mental health, that, you know, to nurture and help somebody go and get the support, but in the same way you would with a patient with a broken head, a broken leg. So, and if we all acknowledge that, it will make the journey so much better. And I think the other one that I've been reflecting on quite a bit is the consistency of our listening. So when you finally make that journey to ask for help, is the person that's listening to you, A, listening? Are they distracted? Are they listening well? Do they believe you? Or are they making you feel safe and comfortable? So we really need to make sure that the consistency of that first line of support is always at a high level, because if we have a bad experience in asking for help, we may never ask for help again. And quite often that first line of support doesn't lay with a doctor. It may lay with a friend, your mum or your dad, or you might be a brother or a sister or a best friend, and your friend or your family member may come to you. And if you dismiss it, or you don't listen, or you have no empathy, you may knock that person back and they may never feel comfortable enough to talk about it again. So I think we all need to acknowledge the responsibility that we have as a society, as human society, to listen and have empathy. You end up with this vicious circle of asking for help, which is just the saddest thing ever. So I think, yeah, they're the two things that I've been reflecting on quite a bit this year, and about what we can do. Just as Joe blogs, you know, you don't have to be a doctor to offer that kind of listening support in order to signpost somebody on their way on their journey to ask for help.
Mig, thank you very much for sharing your personal stories and the stories of the sector. I think it has been an incredibly difficult time for people, particularly in live event entertainment. Listen out for our fifth podcast in this series, when I'll be talking more about tips and hints of things that may be useful to you in supporting your own well-being.